Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I thought it might be appropriate to recognize the celebration this weekend by reading this. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, in decent respect to the opinions of mankind, requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to effect their safety and happiness. Those are the words from the first two paragraphs of the Declaration of Independence that we celebrate this weekend. Following that is a list of grievances against the King of England at that time. There are over 30 of them. And then we come to the last paragraph, which reads, "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United States are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, that they are all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they will have power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." As you visualize that document, the first thing that I think about when I look down toward the bottom is that John Hancock sign. And we have heard people say, "I need your John Hancock here." But I have a question for you. John Hancock was one of the signers. How many signed it in altogether? Does anybody know? 56. Or 57. That I didn't realize there was that many folks. It's a quite a few. With that declaration, the colonies, the 13 colonies, declared their freedom from the slavery of Great Britain. And tomorrow is the day that we celebrate that declaration of the men who courageously signed that beloved document. And it is certainly fitting that we do so because it was the beginning of this country. In today's world, we seek that kind of freedom. We treasure that kind of freedom. We value freedom. Freedom is desired by almost every nation in the world. People live for it. People die for it. And so they also die that others might also have it. Freedom is a state of being free from free and at liberty rather than to be confined. Freedom is not being under some external control or interference or regulation. Freedom is the power to determine your own actions without restraint. Freedom is political and national independence. Freedom is personal liberty as opposed to the bondage of slavery. And to be anything other than our own particular person who determines our own destiny is to be a slave. To be without freedom of choice is to be oppressed by that concept of slavery. Slavery would be the opposite of freedom. And it would seem to be the antithesis of what we celebrate this weekend. But let me suggest something to you. Let me suggest that you still live in slavery. Let me suggest that I still live in slavery. So if that's the case, how can it be said that we live in slavery on this weekend when we celebrate our freedom? Paul reminds us in more than one of his letters that we are spiritually not free. Spiritually, we are slaves. We are slaves either to sin or we are slaves to God. We cannot be both. And in our humanity, we are slaves to that sinful condition that we all inherit. We all succumb to Satan's lies and false promises. But as Christians, we are also slaves to Christ. So while we are politically free today, spiritually, we live in slavery. Like the Pharisees, we would deny that we are a slave to anyone. Their justification was that they were descendants of Abraham and therefore not slaves to anyone. Our justification today would be that we live in America and therefore we are not slaves to anyone. If you are a slave to sin, you cannot free yourself from it. Our human nature turns us away from following Jesus, and it would deny that God even exists. In the epistle lesson today, Paul warns us against denying God. To deny that we are by nature a slave to sin is to deny the existence of God. Paul says God is not mocked. You cannot ignore God forever. What you sow is what you will eventually reap. But if you are a slave to Christ, you are a different kind of slave. Far from being oppressed, the slave of Christ is truly free, as Paul says. As a slave of Christ, we are free from the consequences of our sinful nature. As a slave of Christ, his Spirit resides within us. John says, if the Son, that would be Jesus, sets you free, you will be free indeed. Paradoxically, as a slave of Christ, we have also become sons and heirs of the Most High God. As heirs, we are partakers of the inheritance of eternal life. And those who are in bondage to sin will inherit only death and eternity in hell. So why then do so many Christians live as though they are still in bondage? We often rebel against our God, refusing to obey him and clinging to our old Adam. Because our new nature still lives with the old flesh, we are still drawn to sin. We hold on to the sins that will bring us earthly pleasure. We hold on to the sins that bind us to Satan. St. Paul wisely tells us that we should put off that old person, and we should put on a new person. And when we do so, then we are a new creation. He says, put off lying and put on truthfulness. Put off stealing and put on the usefulness of work. Put off bitterness and rage and anger and put on kindness and compassion and forgiveness. We have been set free from that bondage of sin, but we often put those chains back on us because part of us still hangs on to that old life, that old Adam. When we have been reborn as completely new creatures, we strengthen that new nature by continually reading and feeding on God's Word. And through prayer, we obtain the power that we need to escape that desire to that old life of sin. It is then that we realize that our new status as slaves to Christ is the only true freedom. Tomorrow we celebrate the political freedom with parades and flyovers and fireworks and all kinds of gatherings and barbecues. And we give thanks to God for that freedom. And we should do that. And we should do that with great joy. But today, we Christians celebrate our slavery. Our slavery to our Savior Jesus. That's the good news. Because in that slavery, we are free from the damnation of our sinful nature. In that slavery to Jesus, we are made heirs of the kingdom of God. And as such, we will inherit not an earthly kingdom with political freedom, but a heavenly kingdom with eternal freedom. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.